helps us to proclaim the goodness of the Word of the Lord, how it guides and delights His people. And this morning, I invite you to turn with me in that Word to Paul's letter to the Philippians. We're in chapter 2 for our series of late, Philippians 2, where from the opening verses, Paul has been revealing a very particular mindset. This is the mindset of Jesus. His humility, His love, His obedience to death on a cross. He spells it out very clearly. And then we hear of His exaltation and His resurrection and His seatedness that leads to the name above all names, that Jesus is Lord. And it turns out that following Jesus in this world looks like something, and that's why we've been looking at the working out your salvation, and the standing out, as we saw last time as well. And we're called to shine. We're shining forth and holding fast the word of life. So Paul has this flow. He's letting you, you'll see some connections. I'll hopefully be able to make them for you, but this is not unrelated. It looks like he's shifting gears a little bit, and I suppose he is, where we pick up in verse 19 today of chapter 2. He's compelled to tell his friends there about some upcoming travel plans, some comings and goings, about some familiar faces that the Philippians would have known. And in the text this morning, we'll be reminded about one of the faces that is showing the workout and standing out in his obedience. His name is Timothy. And in verses 19 through 24, Paul continues the letter this way. Hear the word of the Lord. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Let's pray together. Father, you sent these words in a letter to your people some 2,000 years ago. And as your living word today, we would ask you now by your Spirit to show us through these words what it is that you require from us and your people here today because of what you've done for us. In Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Since I've already mentioned Rusty in this series, I'm feeling emboldened to do so again today. Specifically in reference to an actual reference found on a form. Here's the form. I brought it with me. Again, I'll amuse myself by realizing you can't see it and read it, but I will tell you what's on parts of this. It's a reference form recommending Rusty as a student at Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. And again, some of you knew Rusty back in the day when he was serving here, associate pastor. It's been over 20 years. I'll let you pause for those who remember. That's been a long time. Others have heard stories of the much ballyhooed Russell St. John, and others of you mostly know him, perhaps, as the person who wrote a hymn we sang twice last month because it was called Consider Well, and it walked us through verses in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. They say, oh, that guy. Oh, you mean the Reverend Dr. Russell St. John, the one and the same. By the way, he texted this week, and he plans to visit in May. So, anyway, on this form from 1994, I was asked to evaluate a young Russell St. John before he was a Reverend Doctor. He was planning to become a student, and so was he ready for seminary? Well, it turns out this form wants some opine. And so it offers some areas of competency. We got things like his goals, his ability to solve problems, social skills, writing skills. And then you check a box. Maybe you've seen these before. And then we get to the end, and there's an open-ended question like this one. So I'll read this one. What is your overall evaluation of the applicant? To which I write, Rusty is an exceptional individual. His character is marked by discipline, intensity, and moreover, the ability to know both how and when to laugh. He is teachable, focused, articulate, and insightful. He will make a fine student for Covenant Seminary. And they only gave me this much room to write. And then you go down here, and then you check another applicant should be accepted, check, and then you sign it, and then you send it. And at the end of Philippians chapter 2, we find another form of sorts that Paul offers in reference to one of his students, one of his servants, brother who served Paul and the Lord Jesus and the church. And Paul evidently wants to take the time to put this in writing. A word about one of the workers. Actually, two, because next time we'll look at Epaphroditus. But Timothy is set before us today. We have two men here that the church in Philippi knew. So I'll give you a little backdrop as we step into this week and really next week. Epaphroditus is from Philippi, so he would have been familiar, but that's more next time. And they sent him to Paul. Evidently, there was some gift. We find out in chapter 4 that Epaphroditus brought a gift. And at this point, maybe they're hoping that Timothy will get to come see them. They like Timothy. Paul's explaining, though, pretty soon here that, well, I'm not sending Timothy yet, and we'll look at that a little bit. But Epaphroditus, you can expect him pretty soon, and we'll look at the context on that later, next time. But already here, what Paul is pleased, he's going to paint a picture. He's going to offer a portrait of two actual servants that shine. You're here the last couple of weeks. We've been looking at the workout of salvation, the standout, the shining that is true of the humble heart reflected in the selfless love of the Lord Jesus that Paul has set before you in this same chapter. It's all connected. Like I said, the theology, the themes, they're connected. Faith and the practice, the person of Jesus, and the steps of his children. Lived out, worked out, stand out, remember. And here in this letter, we're offered a recommendation, if you will, one that reveals the service of someone named Timothy. In considering, there are a number of ways that we can walk through these verses together. Here's my plan, though. I'm going to hearken to the recommendation letter as a format, as a form, if you will, not unlike the sampling we've just heard regarding the Reverend Dr. Russell St. John before he was the Reverend Dr. Russell St. John. So we're assessing Paul's assessment, the commendation of this person in this particular position that is, which can be a student, which Timothy was, and also a servant in that particular role, that calling, that job. I suppose AI can probably write these forms. I don't know how to use AI. And plus, even if I did, it doesn't know Rusty, so how could it spit out something truly accurate? Anyway, so in my process, before there was AI back in the 1994, and still my process for these kinds of letters, is I picture the person. Okay, so you got Rusty. And then I wait for my brain to ping particular adjectives. You know, sometimes I'll ask Robin, what do you got for, what's an adjective for Rusty? Help me. And usually there's one that just immediately, at least one, bing, that's our guy. And then I try to come up with at least three or four that are descriptive, that are attributes that I can then put into written format and comments and commendations and stuff. So here we have the good friend, Rusty, and a snapshot of the early days, teachable, focused, articulate, insightful. You heard it. And in these verses, Paul offers us a quick snapshot of commendable qualities lived out, that stood out, that shined out from his good friend, Timothy. And in an attempt to compress those qualities and offer some alliteration, I didn't do that for Rusty, but this is a sermon, so I'll do that. I have four adjectives that I want to develop as the picture unfolds. Four truths that could be said of Timothy in this letter from Paul. Timothy is trusted. Timothy is traveler. Timothy is trained and tested. Trusted, traveler, trained, and tested. Well, let's see if these attributes connect with the Christ-like love that's running through the thread and the theme here that Paul has been presenting. So, number one, trusted. Trusted. By the way, this probably would be the pinnacle ping. Timothy, trusted. When I think Timothy, I think trusted. Paul doesn't use that precise word here, but if you put together a composite sketch of the character described in Scripture, Timothy clearly is. He's trusted. He's loyal. He's loyal. He's loyal to the Lord. He's loyal to Paul. He's loyal to the church, to the Philippians in particular here. Now, it's true that Paul had others that served with him. You know that. I mean, you've got Barnabas and Silas and John Mark, to name three. But Timothy appears to be quite special. A protege of sorts, a beloved one. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul calls Timothy, quote, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. There are some adjectives. And if you know anything about Timothy, if you've studied things that Paul wrote to him, you might remember some of the other adjectives. You might think, wait a minute. But there are some, you might also say timid. Sometimes he gets blasted with that one. Or Paul also had to, young. And he had to warn him about, you need to flee youthful lusts. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, Timothy. All right, so Timothy had weaknesses. And those show up on recommendation forms here, including Rusty's. What are some weaknesses? Weak words. No, Paul's keeping it pretty positive here. So we'll look at it this way. So starting with verse 19, if you look with me there, Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. Paul is pleased with this prospect of a mutual exchange of information and edification. The kind that brings cheer. And the kind that occurs when a trusted brother in the Lord Jesus is in your midst. You know, ministering. It's a very glad occasion when a good friend in Christ appears and brings cheer. If you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can use your own names. Maybe you're thinking like when the Nelsons show up for the summer, and they're going to, you know, you see them, hey, and then they give a report of what's going on in Ghana. Maybe you have a brother or sister that is in the Lord. They fly in from Florida if they can get out of an airport today, and they, oh, I'm so happy to see you. And you bask in the glow of life together in the Lord. Or with Reverend Dr. Russell St. John himself. Glad in heart, cheered to visit. And Timothy's arrival would serve as a cheerful sight indeed. These are dear friends in the Lord. And one striking thing about the cheer that Paul mentions here in verse 19 is that it seems to apply primarily to himself, so that I too may be cheered in a cheered in the sense of encouraged, refreshed. Good news that Timothy is going to bring back. I'm going to hear a good report. Paul cared so. It mattered so much to Paul. if you've ever not just led someone to the Lord, but someone that's this close, in this case, the Philippian church, he wants to hear about the spiritual well-being of God's people, the converts here. This is a pastor's heart. Paul shows this. Sometimes we maybe take that for granted, but he's cheered this anticipated good news that the Philippians were living out, that they were working out, that they were standing out in their dark city. He writes about this in the last few paragraphs that we've looked at lately, in the themes of you're contending as one. Love to hear it. You're not complaining. You're not grumbling like we saw last time. Love to hear that. It's supposed to be that way. Putting others first, ahead of your own needs, all that kind of shining like Jesus. That's what Paul wants to hear. I want to find out. And he needs to go there, and we'll get some reports and some recommend. But here's the letter. And by implication, what we can gather is if things weren't going well, if they weren't obeying the Lord, if they weren't shining, then guess who? The loyal, trusted Timothy. He's going to be there to have something to say about that. I hope to send Timothy to you soon, that I too may be cheered by news of you. But in order for the cheer to happen in Philippi, trusted Timothy is going to need to travel. Travel. That's our second point, our second ping, if you will. The picture of a traveling Timothy is recommended here. Also, by way of background, as we're profiling Timothy, it's the same Timothy who was with Paul in Rome, mentioned at the beginning of the letter, this letter. Chapter 1, verse 1. It's the same Timothy who was with Paul in the Philippian church when they started some 10 years earlier here. And Timothy's travels, his resume would also include things like he's been to Corinth and Thessalonica and Jerusalem and Ephesus. And if you glance down with me at verses 23 and 24 right here, you can catch a glimpse of why this travel plan is being pitched. See that? Paul explains, verse 23. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, verse 24. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. We've got some travelers. So Paul's hope, as he puts it here, I want to travel to see you, but in order for that to happen, I'll need to be out of prison, right? Because he's in prison right now, so he can't make promises about, yeah, I'll see you soon. There's a court case that's working its way through. It's his hope, verse 23, but it's not in his control. So he trusts the Lord in such things, and in the meantime, hopefully, right, a trusted traveler can update you on how things are going with me in this this court hearing. They did not have cell service back then. I think you knew that. First century, no cell service, no social media. Wouldn't that be something? In God's providence, ministry in the first century didn't even have podcasts. So some might wonder, well, how did the church advance? Through letters written and travelers that deliver them, bringing the word of life that Paul talked about, as we saw last time, the gospel, on foot, and boats. They had boats, and they had selfless servants that could deliver the word, literally, including this word in this letter, that includes a recommendation for a beloved friend and brother who is trusted and travels, and who's trained. He's trained. Third point. Did Timothy go to seminary? Well, not as we understand that today. But he did get to serve closely with the Apostle Paul. So there's that. And then wouldn't that be something? What do you do for your training? Oh, I traveled with Paul. The Apostle? Yeah, the Apostle. It's a pleasure to be trained by Paul, to travel with Paul, and to have Paul's trust. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he says to him, quote, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Training. So perhaps by implication, Timothy received training in the word from a very early age. And then it blossomed as the Spirit works in him and through the word. And through such means as what? Grandmother and a mother. It's a beautiful picture. Maybe that's your story and you praise the Lord. Or maybe you want it to be your story. You want to serve in a generational thread, passing the word of life, training, the flow of faith in Jesus, discipling, teaching, showing, shining, right? Kingdom practices, kingdom priorities, like the ones that Paul has recently written about in this very chapter, priorities like the interests of Jesus. The top of his gospel, so Jesus, the word. The interests of others, check. This is in verses 3 and 4. Illustrated in the life of Jesus, as Paul points out in verses 6 through 11 of this chapter. And then eventually you can get around to your own interests. He's laying it out. This is the workout. It's part of the workout. Verse 12. And then in ways we looked at in verses 13 through 18. Again, it's all connected. Evidently, Timothy knew about the training in righteousness. Perhaps as expressed and explained in verses 20 and 21 even. See that? Paul writes, verse 20, For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And again, this is hearkening back to verses 3 and 4. The interests of Jesus, that's how you think. Now, in these verses, you probably read that and on the face of it, you might think, wow, is he eliminating all servants near him in Rome? Are they uncommendable? You could read it that way, I suppose. But he is about to commend Epaphroditus, so Timothy's not the only one, and he's about to give greetings to saints with him as well. But in verses like these, I think you can hear a comparison that effectively says, for this job, for this particular job, the recommendation I have, the character, the qualifications, I submit to you, Brother Timothy. Trained. If you think about how you got your first job, whatever that means to you. When is your first real job? Was it pulling weeds? Maybe. Was it the donut shop? Domino's? So you tend to think, okay, so let's say it counts like after the first job you get after like college. So I'll use that one. And when I think of that one, I think I got that job the old-fashioned way, is I knew somebody. And at least I think that's how God got me that job. And on the surface, it sure seemed unlikely that my meager list of qualifications would have been enough. I'm a 22-year-old punk. I'm supposed to take on a college dorm of 185 college guys, a lot of whom are large athletes. So let's see, what are my qualifications for that? Well, I lived in a dorm. I like sports. I'm kind of a large guy. I'm larger now, but as I mentioned recently. So why would they choose me for this job? So there must have been more to it, because I did get that job. And so this is where my friend comes in. Of all the hopefuls that may have been there, it turns out my friend, not only he knew the dean of students, but he also had this particular job at this particular time. And so he knew me. He knew my training. And I'm sure he said something nice. I don't know what he said to the dean. I'm guessing it was gracious enough for him to choose me out of this pile of stuff. And to this day, I think I'd still wonder what he said. What did he say that would make me stand out? What words of recommendation? Again, Timothy had weaknesses. I mentioned a couple. But Paul knew the training. He knew his character. He knew Timothy. He trusted Timothy. And he commends Timothy to carry out this calling, this job, as a trained, trusted traveler who's also tested. Tested. That's a final point. It's pretty brief. I think you can see it in verse 22. Paul writes, "But you know Timothy's proved worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Now, as we'll see, there were reasons for sending Epaphroditus and not Timothy at this time. Not yet, at least. And one reason that Paul wants Timothy to stay with him is the court case. But also, right here, he says it. It's his proven worth, verse 22. Again, Timothy is basically Paul's protege. He's battle-tested in these things, in the ministry of the gospel. Proven ways, the travel and the training, we got that. But Paul knows that Timothy knows the gospel. He's like, of course he does. He knows the words of life, verse 16. He knows Jesus, the Lord Jesus, verse 11 in this chapter. The exalted Lord Jesus, verse 9. The obedient to death on a cross Jesus, verse 8. The selfless servant Jesus, verses 6 and 7. Timothy knows this all firsthand. He knows Jesus personally. He knows these things. They're not just doctrines. This is personal. It's personal to Paul. It's personal to Timothy. And they have pastor hearts. And they're tested in these things. They know firsthand what it looks like, what it feels like to follow Jesus. Tested. Proven. Hebrews 13, we don't get a lot of detail on it, but evidently, at some point, Timothy was in prison too. We don't know much about what that was all about, but there's some talk of his being released, so rough protege to follow there. But he's proven. His worth is developing, his character, reliability, he's experienced, tested. This verse reminded me, just going through it this week, something set before you right now, and you're considering Noah for the office of deacon. And one of the things that Paul writes about to Timothy in chapter 3 of his first letter, he talks about the qualifications for deacon. He says this is a quote, "And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless." Okay. So we have this service of a true servant of Jesus. It's tested. It's something that will just be obvious to you. You read the list, you think, yeah, I've seen that. That's what comes to mind. That's what pings. Servant that shines. Tested. So you fill out that recommendation form, such as it is, the confirmation form, and there's enough there to recommend. That's what you're asked to evaluate yourself. And here's Timothy. Paul's testifying in this letter. Yeah, he's proven. He's proven worthy. Servant in the gospel itself, he says here. He recommends in writing. Paul's putting this in writing, in a letter. And here again, in the flow of the letter, we can see how leaders, perhaps in particular leaders, how they need to prove themselves by, serving others. Serving others first. Shining and showing forth, standing out in ways like that. Again, it's not just how you lead, it's not just the leading, you've been led. The Lord Jesus leads and we all follow. This is what it looks like to serve and shine as we've been seeing, and it's not just as one who's trusted and travels and trained and tested, but as the humble one himself has shown you. He'll go to a cross for you. That's the picture. That's for all of us. And that's the ping, that's the person who is set before you, that is recommended to you today. It's the Lord Jesus that we're all called to follow him as though our life depends on it, because it does. And as you follow, called to rejoice, or the word used here, cheer. To cheer, to find gladness in the gospel of the Lord sent to you to serve you, to save you, so that you could shine. Let's pray together. Father, for Jesus, we do thank you. We thank you for his service, for his coming to us as sent by you to save sinners. Lord, as we consider these commendations and reflect on these apostolic recommendations that reflect a true servant, we ask that you would show us Jesus, the suffering servant, the Savior, the one who you sent to save us. And we pray that your Spirit would move us to follow him, the trusted one, and to do so with robust faith and with great cheer. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.